Welcome to Soul Series. Soul Series is a part of Oprah Radio, exclusively on XM Channel 156 and Sirius Channel 195.
Go to xmradio.com/Oprah for more details about Oprah Radio.
Actor Rainn Wilson is best known as that quirky, egomaniacal Dwight on the hit show The Office. But what you may not know about him is that he is on a mission. He wants to have a real debate about some of life's biggest questions. Rainn says he's just sick of spirituality being airy-fairy, hippy-dippy, and so precious. Those are his words. So here we go. Rainn and I are going to take on God, religion, and his quest to de-lamify it all. This is Soul Series. Join us.
It's uplifting, enlightening, truly powerful. Welcome to Soul Series.
So welcome to my Soul Series on Oprah Radio. I'm delighted to have as my guest today the funny man and the satirical man that we all love to hate, the character Dwight Schrute from the hit series The Office, brought to us so artfully and thoughtfully by Rainn Wilson.
Oh, you're too kind.
No, I'm not too kind. It's true. So why a funny man Rainn Wilson on our Soul Series? I'll tell you why. Two words. Soul pancake. Soul pancake. Rainn Wilson, what is soul pancake?
That is an excellent question, Oprah. I love that I just said that. I said, that's an excellent question, Oprah. What a delight to meet you. Thanks for having me here.
What a delight to have you here in this. But when you first hit Chicago, though, right?
Yeah.
Right. And you realized it was minus 14 degrees.
It's ridiculous.
Yes.
You know, you go outside in this weather, and it's like your survival instinct kicks in.
Yes.
And it's like, I felt like I was going to die. I honestly came out of the airport, and I was like, something in my body kind of took over, and it's like, don't stop moving because you will curl up and then you will freeze to death.
Because it's unnatural, isn't it? That's what an audience member said to me the other day.
Yeah.
The audience member said it's wrong.
Yeah, it's deeply wrong.
It's wrong. Yeah. It's like I was in my house. I actually, you know, look out over Lake Michigan. Lucky me. And it's frozen, so solid. And there was like the ice. There was like crystallizing ice and it was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But,
it was a frosting, which was rising above it.
Yeah,
it
lots
was
of like steam everywhere.
Steam
yeah.
coming up. And this morning, right. It was like shocking how cold it was.
It's brutal. It's brutal. I went to high school here in Chicago. I love this great city. I'm not just saying that for the Chicago Office fans.
Okay, good.
I do. I really love the city. So it's
good. And where would you go to high school?
New Trier High School in Winnetka, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. And did you have any idea then that this is where you would be?
You know what? I had... Well, we'll get back to Soul Pancake in a minute.
Yeah, we'll get
here.
Back to that in a minute.
Hold that thought. You know, it's interesting that here I am talking to you at that point, because I definitely knew I wanted to be an actor. And
yes.
I had that dream. I had that longing to be an artist.
Yes.
And that was my deepest drive. My family...
Because that is the heart of our soul's calling, is that longing thing that you're talking about.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And I knew that I basically had to be an actor or I would die. Like
wow.
I would freeze to death outside of O'Hare Airport. same kind of thing would
really?
Take in. I had such a deep drive to become an actor. And at the same time, you know, I grew up as a member of the Baha'i faith, and my parents are Baha'is, and we lived over by the Baha'i House of
yes.
Worship there in Wilmette, that beautiful temple
yes,
on Lake
Baha'i
Michigan.
Yes, the Baha'i temple, yes.
So now, kind of with Soul Pancake, I'm kind of bringing both things, my artistic journey and my spiritual journey are coming in a culmination in this website.
So we will definitely get to Soul Pancake in a moment, but I've passed that temple, and I wondered what, because it's so beautiful,
mm-hmm.
and there is this sort of mystery surrounding it, if you have never been in and don't know anything about the Baha'i faith. What is that, the Baha'i faith?
Well, another excellent question. First of all, I want to say that had you come in the summer of 1984 to the Baha'i House of Worship in
yes.
Wilmette, Illinois, you would have seen young Rainn Wilson in a security guard uniform.
Really?
Patrolling the grounds.
That's
and
what
I was
you were doing?
Really intimidating because I was probably about 154 pounds at
wow.
the time and 6'2". Gawky, acne bespeckled, but I was fierce. I was a fierce
defender. Security guard. Yeah.
No, the Baha'i faith is, and it's always difficult to sum up a kind of a world religion
right.
in a nutshell. But essentially, the Baha'i faith is a religion of unity. The founder of the Baha'i faith, Baha'u'llah, brought the message for this day and age that there is only one religion, that all of the religions of the past are one changeless faith of God, that when you go way back in the annals of human history to Zoroaster, Abraham, to Buddha, and then going forward to Jesus and Muhammad, that all of these people are divine messengers from God that are bringing God's message to that people at that particular date and time and geography. And there are many manifestations of God or prophets of God or messengers of God, whatever you want to call them, that have come and gone that we don't know about, and there will be ones on into the future, that it is God brings his message to humankind with a gradual unfolding, like lesson plan.
Right.
And Baha'u'llah claims to be a messenger of God, a prophet of God for this day and age, and his message of kind of profound unity, Baha'is believe, is the antidote, to help cure the ills of the world.
So you grew up with this sense of openness toward all religions and a belief that, you know, we're all the same, we're all connected. Yeah.
That what a miracle it was to grow up that way.
Yeah.
To one of the fundamental tenets of the Baha'i faith is the elimination of racial prejudice.
Wow.
So to grow up feeling that we're all one human family, just to know that from age four, as soon as you could think or walk or talk, was a gift. The equality.
So that were there people of other colors, races in your church?
Yeah. All the Baha'is are every race, age, creed, you know, background that you can possibly imagine.
And so I'm sure that infuses not only certainly your personality, but also distinctly infuses your art.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. How does it affect my art?
Yes.
Because here I play this weird, annoying geek,
eccentric.
On a TV show. It's not like I'm playing Gandhi. I'm not on, like, Touched by an Angel or something like that. You know what I mean? I play a lot of different weirdos. But, you know, here's an interesting thing about the Baha'i Faith, and this will get us to Soul Pancake, is one of the teachings of the Baha'i Faith is that in this day and age, Baha'u'llah tells us that the making of art is no different than prayer. There's not any difference between lifting up a paintbrush and touching it to a canvas and bowing your head in a church.
You know, I just got a little,
yeah.
The hairs on my head rose a little bit when you said that. Yeah.
Get a little tingle.
I got a little tingle from that, right?
There are many other teachings.
Art is prayer. Creativity is an expression of prayer. It is prayer.
You know. To get a little mystical on your ass?
Yes. Go ahead. Get a little mystical on my ass. Okay.
Here we go. Check this out.
What?
The Baha'i prayers, and I'm going to give you a Baha'i prayer book later on. At the end of the Baha'i prayers.
Like you have one for me? Or
yeah,
you just now
I got
thought
one
of it?
For
okay,
you.
Good.
Yeah. At the end of the Baha'i prayers, you say the name of God. Like, there are prayers for everyone. They're not just for Baha'is. But at the end, you're like, you know, thou art the powerful, the mighty, the all-seeing, all-hearing God. You know, there's a lot of different faith traditions.
Yes.
But one of the names of God that has been revealed by Baha'u'llah is the Fashioner. And there's a beautiful quote in the Baha'i faith is that because this word fashioner was revealed as God is the fashioner, that this relates to the arts, because when you're an artist, you're a fashioner, whether you're making a sculpture or a painting or a piece of music. So you're emulating God.
As a fashioner, as in
creator.
Designer.
God is the creator.
Yes.
You know, it's just a different word for creator.
Right.
That's all. So being creative and being a creator is the ultimate testament to the great creator, God.
Mm-hmm.
So you're, just as God is kind and merciful and just and patient and all-loving and all-compassionate, and those are the qualities of God that we seek to emulate as human beings.
Right.
Hopefully, you know, we try our best. You know, one of those is also to be fashioners.
To be fashioners. So,
and I happen to be a fashioner of weird, eccentric, freaky geeks.
Characters.
Yeah.
So this is Rainn Wilson talking, y'all, from The Office, who is really talking about God in such a cool, not airy-fairy way.
Thank you.
And that was your fashioned intention for Soul Pancake.
Yes.
And so now we're back to Soul Pancake.
That was good. Good transition.
Good.
Very nice.
Yay.
Soul Pancake as I became a celebrity,
yes,
and I have my spiritual belief, and I seek as a Baha'i, and I believe that our highest calling as human beings is to be of service.
Yes. Yes, isn't that the truth? That's what I deeply believe.
I do, too. That's one of the fundamental teachings of my faith, and we see it kind of catching fire these days. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the whole country will be turned onto this in a way.
I hope so.
No, for sure. For sure that is what is going to happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good.
We're in that moment. Don't you feel it?
There's definitely change afoot.
Yeah. Don't you feel a level of consciousness raising, has been raised, that says that service is the way?
I think third eyes are opening all over this country.
Absolutely.
But so I was thinking about, like, how can I be of service? What can I best offer the world? I mean, obviously, you know, I do some work with charities and stuff like that, and, you know, try and be a good father and a good husband, and, you know, struggle with these things. But this is, you know, when I speak to young people about God or about religion or about faith, I kept coming up on the same answer.
Yeah.
Which is, young people, you'd say to someone, you know, kind of the generations younger than me in 20s or 30s, say, do you believe in God? And they would say, yeah, kind of. There's a kind of belief in God. But I don't believe in an old man on a beard who's judgmental. I believe in some force in the universe that is, you know, that is creative and loving. I'm not
connected
quite sure what that is.
And, yeah, the universality of God is what people
but
say.
But
I love that you say that, because I've heard people say that too. Do you believe in God? Kind of.
Yeah.
And I have wondered, is that like kind of being pregnant? Or is that kind
exactly.
of? Yeah, kind
and that,
of.
And that's what I always say. So I was like, that's an interesting concept of God. It seems a little underexplored a lot of times when I speak
what
to
that
people.
Means is, I think people are saying, I don't believe in the doctrine that I've been told that it is. But I do believe that there's something bigger, something more mysterious than, you know, language can describe. That's what I always interpret it to mean. Yeah, kind of.
And I, kind of, exactly. And, you know, the other thing they always say is, but I could never be a part of any organized religion.
Yes, that is the other thing.
And which is completely understandable.
Right.
I mean, we have been a victim and still are to this day of fundamentalism, and fundamentalist religion and doctrines, as you say, has caused so much pain and suffering and disunity in the world.
And judgment and all that, yes.
And one of the Baha'i teachings is, If religion be a cause of disunity, it were better that there were no religion.
Right.
So religion
go
has
Baha'is.
To
yes.
go Baha'is.
Go Baha'is.
And it's interesting because the word religion comes. We'll get to Soul Pancake.
Okay, we'll get to Soul Pancake.
It comes from the, I believe, Latin root. I'm no scholar, Oprah, but religio, which is ligament, religio, to bind. Religio, rebind, ligament, re-ligamentize, to bind people together.
Interesting.
And in the early days of all of the great faiths of the world, that's what religion did, is it binded people together and created unity. And you had, you
know,
the
cause...
And
things got a little crazy.
You had the cause of Muhammad kind of binding together all of the Arab states, and you had the Christianity binding together, you know, the whole Roman Empire and spreading, and Buddhism spreading across Tibet and China and bringing people together towards a common purpose, and then it gets, things...
Got a little crazy.
This is why Baha'is think it needs to be updated. But anyway, so they don't... Young people think that they kind of believe in God, they know they can't be a part of an organized religion, and they have a great distaste for anything that feels kind of hippy-dippy or airy-fairy about religion.
Yes.
Anything that's kind of like, you know, let's hold our crystals.
I was just going to say, bring out the crystals.
Our breath together, and I'm getting a sense of your aura, and that kind of stuff that, for young people, they hate that, and they cringe at that. They'd want to go turn on Nirvana and crank the volume whenever they hear something like that.
Okay.
So I was like, how can I inspire young people to take a spiritual journey in their lives that doesn't have to do with organized religion, that questions this idea of who God is and is there a God, and isn't hippy-dippy or airy-fairy in any way. And that's kind of how Soul Pancake was born.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like the way that young people can best experience some kind of religious feeling is through art, because art turns people on, religion turns people off. Creativity is turning people on, and so
and
I wanted
art is a prayer.
And art is a prayer. I believe the two are the same thing. So there's not any difference between being creative and being spiritual, and so I want to investigate that in our website.
So how about if we talk about soulpancake.com finally after we take this break?
Good idea.
Good idea.
Hope you enjoyed this edition of Soul Series. Soul Series is a part of Oprah Radio, exclusively on XM Channel 156 and Sirius Channel 195. These are some of my favorite conversations.
For more Best Life programming 24 hours a day, listen to Oprah Radio. Go to xmradio.com/Oprah for details.
Welcome to Soul Series. Soul Series is a part of Oprah Radio, exclusively on XM Channel 156 and Sirius Channel 195.
Go to xmradio.com/Oprah for more details about Oprah Radio. It's uplifting, enlightening, truly powerful. Welcome to Soul Series.
We're back on our Soul Series and delighted to be talking to Rain Wilson from The Office today, who has created soulpancake.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you created it for all the reasons that we've been talking about.
Yes.
Really, to bring spirituality, creativity to a level that young people would be receptive.
Yes.
To the greater voices.
I love it.
To the greater voices.
I'm going to use that.
Okay, to the greater
yes.
voices. Okay, and so how did you come up with that idea?
I have no idea. How did I come up with that idea? I don't know. It just kind of like, I had a couple of friends, Devin Gundry and Joshua Homnick, a couple of buddies of mine, and we spent a lot of hours consulting. We spent a lot of hours talking about, do we do this? Do we do that? How do we do this?
And you guys were actually sitting down saying, how do we get young people connected to the greater there is?
Yeah. How do I, Rain Wilson,
yeah.
who is now kind of somewhat of a recognizable celebrity, albeit for playing a weirdo.
Yeah. but isn't playing weird fun? Don't you love that guy?
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you really like Dwight, don't you?
I do. Yeah. I love him.
Okay.
I love him.
Dwight's been very good to you.
Sweet love to him. No, that's terrible. Why would I say that? I hope you edit that out.
No.
Oh. Yeah, and we consulted about it, and this is kind of what we came up with. I can't even remember, like, this. We had all kinds of different ideas. Here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to have a show kind of like Soul Series where I would interview people about their faith and about spirituality, and I wanted to call it Metaphysical Milkshake.
Ooh.
And that was the first version. And then we were like, oh, that's too obtuse. And then I was like, you know what? I don't necessarily want to just play the role of a talk show
host. That's right, right.
In this case, I'm not dissing talk show hosts, believe me.
Oh, yeah, it's okay.
But that's not really the best use of this. Like, and then what it gradually came to is, like, social networking.
Right.
Let's try and create a community of people that are sharing work together, that are talking about life's big questions. That's what I felt was missing.
Good. I love that.
Talking big questions. Young people today aren't talking about it. Not even young people, people in our culture, if you go up to someone and you, not on the street, but if
yes.
you're in the conversation and you say to them, what do you think happens when you die? What do you think happens after you die? People get freaked out.
Yes.
You know what? It's coming. And not so long for some of us.
Oh,
so.
Actually, this is so funny you mentioned this, because I was at a friend's dinner party in Montecito. And it's our Montecito group of friends who gather together lots of times. And I asked, because in the dinner party, people are talking about nothing. So I thought, oh, well, I'm going to do my Oprah thing here and try to get some real conversation.
Yeah.
And ask that question. And it was a freak out. It turned out the table.
Yeah.
Before you know it, people are getting up, putting their coats on, having to go home.
Did they really?
Yeah.
It kind of shut down the party. And there's nothing more a part of life than death.
I know. But it freaks people out.
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably the most important question that we can ever ask ourselves, really. And it affects our lives. You know, like the idea of the Native American warrior, today's a good day to die.
Yes.
Like it... It brings you in the moment,
well,
actually.
When you all were talking about this, you and your friends putting this whole soul pancake, which we're going to get to what it is in a minute. When you all were talking about it, did you talk about why people get so freaked by it? Why people, you know, never ask that question of themselves?
Yeah, I mean, we delved into that a little bit. I think because we live in a culture that doesn't support people to ask those questions. And when people do ask those questions, it's usually under the context of some organized religion or some fundamentalist viewpoint about, you know, honestly, the idea of heaven and hell has very much shut down conversation about that question. Because mm-hmm. it seems like people are either like, you know, I'm a composite of cells and chemicals, and when I'm dead, I'm gone.
Yeah.
Or B, I have no idea what happens after I die. Or C, if I'm good, I will go to heaven, and if I'm bad, I will go to hell, or some version thereof.
Yeah.
And there's nothing kind of in between.
Wow. So
I have a list of life's big questions. Can I hit you with some?
Yeah, go ahead. I'd like to hear what yours are.
All right, Oprah.
For my next dinner party.
Fasten your seatbelt.
It's go mystical on my ass.
What does your soul look like?
What does your soul look like? Ooh, that's good.
What do you miss most about being 5 years old?
Oh my God, that's really good.
If you could ask God one question, what would it be?
Mm.
That's a good one. What would you ask God?
I would just ask God why.
Excellent question.
Why?
Which brings us to the biggest question of all. Why are we here? What is the purpose
yes,
of life?
Yes, that would be it. Why, and why, and why, mm-hmm. and why, mm-hmm. and why humans, and why, and why, and why. So, soul pancake.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give you an idea of what it is, folks, we're going to play this little clip.
Hi. I wrote a little song for you. It goes like this. My heart floats like a flower. I am sick of spirituality being airy-fairy, hippy-dippy, and precious. I want to have a debate about life's big questions. I want to de-lamify talking about God and religion. Soul Pancake is where spirituality and creativity meet. Want to join us?
Soul Pancake.
Boom.
So that's what it is.
We need a pancake recipe. Do you have any? I want to market Soul Pancake Mix.
I love that. I love that.
Are we good?
Yeah.
Any recipes? You've got like a staff of chefs.
I do.
Okay.
Kind of. But when you sat down with these questions, though, and I'm still on that question of, you know, what do you miss most about being 5 years old? Your answer?
What do I miss most about being 5 years old?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I, the thing that I hate the most as I grow older is my constant battle against being jaded.
Hmm.
You know, my first reaction so many times, I get a piece of news or someone says something or even something inspiring about the world, I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, that whole kind of jaded thing.
Cynical thing. Yeah.
It's so easy to become cynical. And it's a first defense. It's an easy way to go. It's the easiest thing to do is to be sarcastic. And 5 years old, you don't know. You don't know that.
You're just so open. Mm-hmm. You're open to receive.
Just open to possibility.
Yeah. So I'm talking to the actor who so excellently portrays the paper salesman whose ego knows no bounds, Dwight Schrute, on the hit TV show The Office, Rainn Wilson. So Soul Pancake is about, as you were saying, Soul Pancake Mix, creating this mixture of everybody else's ideas and thoughts. So you go to .com and you are...
I had no idea, first of all, that creating a website was so hard. It's ridiculously hard. I thought it's like, oh, there's pages and the things, and
people
just make
click
it
here.
Make it do the thing that it with the thing. It's been like a year we've been working on this thing, and we're going to be gradually unfolding it. So it's not immediately active in the way that we want it to be. It will be a gradual process, but. Eventually, we would like it to be a social networking site in the same way that MySpace is or Facebook is,
mm-hmm.
where it creates an online community of people who are interested in digging into life's big questions and interested in the arts. We're going to sponsor contests. we're going to have what we call burners, like burners on a stove where you cook pancakes, of visual arts, music, written word, and moving arts like film and video and animation, and submissions, interviews with artists, challenges, and we want to create a world community where you can see, like, you might have, you might do a contest where you talk about what your soul looks like, and then someone in Nepal might be doing that, and someone in South Africa might be doing that, and you get to talk to people all over the world about life's big questions and get a world perspective as well.
You know what I think my soul looks? I think it looks like everybody I see. I think it looks like everybody and everything that I see.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But mine looks like Steve Carell. Harry. No, I'm not going to go there.
You're not going to go there.
Yeah.
So I know you guys came up with these questions. Do you think about life's big questions for yourself?
I do all the time. In my own life, you know, I felt myself go on a spiritual journey that I'm still on. And
so, 'cause you never really leave it till you take your last breath.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Unless you're shut down. Well, a lot of people are on the journey, don't know they're on it because they're just so shut down. They're just walking blindly through it. Yeah.
Absolutely. So it was about taking other young people on a spiritual journey. But I had a big crisis of faith, and so I had to kind of rediscover my personal faith, my connection.
What was your crisis?
To God. Well, what happened was at around age of 20, I moved to New York City to become an actor. I went to acting school at NYU. And I got fed up with the Baha'i faith. I got sick of all the Baha'is and their crazy ways. And I didn't want organized religion. I didn't want morality. I didn't want some God looking down on me and judging. I didn't want any of it.
Yeah.
And I cast away all religious thought and faith. And I just said, you know,
but what
you
just described to us here about Baha'is, I'm thinking they're so open to all religions and open to the connectedness of, you know, humankind.
It wasn't the most mature response I had.
Okay, it was your 20-year-old self.
It was time for me to rebel. And so I was in New York City. I dyed my hair black. I was smoking filterless cigarettes.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. I don't know what I believe. No one's going to tell me anything.
Yes.
Certainly not the faith of my parents.
You know. One of those moments.
Yeah. Exactly. But what became my religion, Oprah, was, believe it or not, art and acting and the theater. And I threw myself into acting with the same, like, evangelism as someone would have about a religion. I really thought that by training as actors and doing theater, we could touch people's hearts and we could change the world. And you know, so I went on a long journey of developing my career as an actor and actively not knowing if there was a God. And just put myself into art as my religion, which is supported in my faith because, you know, we talked about creativity and faith, but
being
also
a prayer, being a prayer,
but also that in the Baha'i faith, there's something that is called individual investigation of truth, which is in this day and age, there's no clergy in the Baha'i faith. There's no one saying, here's how we interpret the word of God, and here's my interpretation.
Does somebody preach to you? Nobody preaches to you?
No, we preach to each other. That's it.
So that's what's going on in there in that temple.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. We read holy writings, and some people will talk, and it's just their opinion.
But there's nobody standing up in front in the morning.
There's no one in a robe or a funny hat or anything like that.
Okay.
Not knocking the clergy, but there's amazing clergy members out there.
So how do you even, you go into a service, how do you even get organized to do anything?
It's barely organized. People talk about organized religion. By faith, the most disorganized religion.
Everybody just gathers together at a certain time. You sing a song or what?
It's a democratic religion, if anything is possible. In the city of Chicago, there's what's called a local spiritual assembly, and there are 9 members who are elected every year to serve the needs of the community. So the members of the local spiritual assembly act as the administrators, but they don't have any power over anyone else. They don't have any station over anyone else.
But you do like have a service, because why would you need the temple?
Yeah, but in the house of worship, that's for people of all religions to come and worship. There's not actually any Baha'i ceremonies that take place in the house of worship. The Baha'is build it as a service to the community. You can go there, pray, meditate, whatever. Bring that guy.
Bring that guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just go on over. Bring a bag lunch. Call
this
it
is
a
so
day.
Interesting because it's such a beautiful temple. It's always held this mystery. And
yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people have felt like, I felt like, what goes on in there?
Oh, yeah. No, nothing. There's no sacrifice of goats or anything like
okay,
that.
Okay, so what do the Baha'is believe happened to the body when it dies?
Well, that that we are in... We are in one of the many different worlds of God, infinite worlds of God. We happen to be on the physical realm, dealing with our challenges in this world.
Right.
And one of the challenges we have in this world is free will. We are. This is a world of free will. So we are making our choices about our life, day in and day out. God is all powerful, all compassionate, and when we pass our physical body on, our eternal soul will go to the next realm. Yeah, it's called, in the Baha'i faith, it's called the Abha Kingdom, the Kingdom of Glory.
And is that one place or is that many places?
It's one and many places. We don't really know, but there certainly is not a heaven or a hell.
Yeah.
And I know I could never believe in...
In a heaven or a hell.
Yeah. Can you think about a loving God that it's like, oh, if you happen to be a Tibetan child and never hear about Christianity, then for eternity you're going to be in a cavern with fire and brimstone?
Makes
being
no
poked
sense,
with
does
a spear?
It? Doesn't make
like,
any
how
sense.
How could... A
to
god,
me.
What a horrible monster of a god that would do something like that. That's a terrible, terrible person. We leave our physical realm and we go on to many different realms. There's an analogy used in the Baha'i faith, which is like the child in the womb. When the child is in the womb, it's growing its physical arms and legs and eyes and ears that it needs to be in this world. And when we're in this world, we are growing our spiritual arms and legs and eyes and ears that we will need in future worlds. And those spiritual arms and legs and eyes and ears are compassion and patience and kindness and reverence, with all of those qualities of God, those spiritual qualities that make humanity rise above just being an animal.
And that's what Soul Pancake is about. SoulPancake.com is to help another generation, my generation, as well as the younger generation, to connect to that. That's what true service on earth is about all the things you just listed.
You're saying it magnificently.
Yes. It's about your sense of compassion and harmony and truly reverence for life.
That's beautiful. You're saying it better than I ever
no,
could.
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to clarify. That's what it is, really all about.
I spoke earlier about this. There's an idea in my religious belief about individual investigation of truth, that individuals have an obligation to find the truth for themselves. So I want kids, maybe there's some kid who watches The Office in Omaha, Nebraska, and he's feeling a little bit lost and has an aching or a longing for God in some way in his life, or not even God, but just purpose or something more. There's got to be something more than
here?
This material world.
I
want to ask life's big questions, but if I do it at school, like people throw me into soda machines.
They think I'm a geek.
So, maybe this can be of service to someone like that.
And, you know, I was doing a webcast the other night with some spiritual leaders, and it was interesting because a woman called in, and she was so sincere. I can't remember her name, but she was from Nevada. She was Skyping in, saying she wants exactly what you're talking about here. I should have told her about Soul Pancake. Because she was saying, I want to raise my children with a sense of spirituality and connectedness, but yet the old ways of religion, the old religious ways, traditions that I was brought up on, don't feel like it's not, number one, connected or right. You know, she wasn't as interested in the doctrine and the judgment as she was in raising kids who had this sense of what you're talking about. Yes. So what would be your advice to someone who's trying to do that for their young children? What do you do for your son, Walter? How do you speak of spirituality?
Excellent question.
Yes.
We teach Walter about God. We pray every night, and we talk about, what we believe about God. And it was very cute. Walter went into preschool the other day, and he goes to the preschool teacher who's like, Miss Pat, did you know that God is everywhere and he's in your heart and he's in our heart and he loves everyone? I was like, right on. That's my boy. There you go.
There you go, Walter.
For me, it's all about this. It's about this spiritual journey. You know, I talked about when I was an actor and I was started investigating whether in fact there was a God. I came to believe that I couldn't.
What made you conclude that there was?
Well, I read all of the holy books in the world. Well, not all of them, but
what?
I read the central books of the main religions.
You did?
Yeah, I read the Bhagavad Gita, and I read the Dhammapadas, and I read the Quran and the Bible. And
you read them?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
well,
I was
a scholar.
A freak. Yeah, no, not a scholar, just a weird dude. But, and what I read this amazing book, I think it was called Gospel of the Red Man was one, and I read this other thing about Native American spirituality, and I was like, you know what, I can't believe in God, but you know what, I can believe in Wankantanka. Wankantanka, the great spirit of the Lakota, I think was the name of it.
Whoa.
And I was like, I can believe in an all-loving force that runs through nature.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a starting place. That's where I can believe. That's
okay.
How kind of
so
my belief in God kind of came back to that. And I had an aha moment. You know, you ask your guests about
yes.
their aha moments.
Yes, and what was yours, Rain?
I was watching the Mets, and they were down at the bottom of the ninth, and I was with my friend Phil, and...
Paint the picture. What year? When?
I don't even know. 1992 or something
okay,
like
okay.
this. And 3-4, something like that.
Okay.
And we're watching the Mets, and Daryl Strawberry was up, and it was the bottom of the ninth, and we were talking about Wankantanka and God and about my spiritual journey, and how I had this kind of longing for something more in my life, you know, and I was like, you know what, let's put it to the test. Let's pray to Wankantanka right now for the Mets to win, and if there is a Wankantanka, then the Mets will win the game. What do you say? And he's like, sounds good. And I literally was like, oh, great spirit, oh, Wankantanka, if you exist, show yourself to me, and please let the Mets win this game.
Okay.
And then it was literally like, Daryl Strawberry hits a 3-run home run over the fence. The Mets win the game of the ball. And we were like, oh my God, oh my God. And it was,
oh my God, there is a God.
Oh my God, oh my God. Thank you, Daryl Strawberry. You taught me about God.
Oh my goodness.
So, but that was, it was kind of a silly aha moment, but that kind of sums up kind of how my spiritual quest was going at that point. And then, you know, long story short, I came back to the faith that I grew up in, because to me it just made the most sense. For other people, it may not. But the most important thing is that in a very materialistic age, Oprah, we live in a very superficial time. And although there is a change coming,
mm-hmm.
I just want people to go on their own spiritual journeys, whatever that takes.
Have you been discouraged by, you know, interestingly enough, both of us are known people in the world. And so it always sounds sometimes disingenuous when known people, celebrities, talk about how crazy it's gotten with celebrity. I mean, this whole worshiping of people worshiping, idolizing, putting on magazine covers, walking on the red carpets, picture, for people for what?
Yeah.
For what?
Yeah.
I think that that's why I was so excited about this new abomination we're in,
mm-hmm.
Because I think that part of what this administration is going to do is bring back the idea of what we're talking about, community, what's really valuable to people's lives,
mm-hmm.
and service,
mm-hmm.
and service,
yeah.
in a way that we have never seen demonstrated before.
You know, you're summing that up so beautifully, because I think that if you take the temperature of your average young person, you know, what they want more than anything else, I read this in a study, was not fortune, but fame. Fame is
yes.
the number one thing that people want.
Yes.
And you talk to young people like, I'm going to be famous. And you can. You can be on a reality show and be famous.
I know.
You can
be famous for doing absolutely
you
nothing.
You can be an
now.
Heiress and be famous.
That's
you
right.
You can be, you know.
You can be, have blogs and now be famous.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And the what if we could supplant the idea of fame with service? What if
yes.
there was a longing for service?
Yeah.
And in the Baha'i Faith, there's great prophecies. There's actual prophecies in the Baha'i Faith, this is going to sound really crazy, about America and about the United States of America and what an important role it will play in the development of humankind, because America will lead all nations spiritually. And
when was this written?
This was written in 1870s,
really?
1880s,
mm-hmm.
yeah, in Persia. where people are like, America? What?
Yeah.
What is that place? The place with the Civil War? What? Mm-hmm. What is that about? But so it's America's spiritual station is also very important, and I think I'm starting to feel that, and you're talking about that with Obama, but with people's consciousness opening and changing, that we have the potential in this nation to not be the nation of people trying to acquire stuff and trying to acquire fame, but we could be a nation of service to the world.
Yeah, and I actually think that that's what this meltdown in the economy is here to teach us, if we will awaken and see it.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think that I believe that what you address on this show is so beautiful, because I believe that the problem with the world is spiritual problems. And if you look at economics...
And it's all spiritual.
It's all spiritual.
It's all spiritual.
Come on.
I don't care
come
what
on.
The subject is.
There we go.
It's all spiritual.
It is.
All spiritual,
it's
all the time.
It's environment.
Yep.
Politics.
Finances.
You know, finances.
All spiritual.
You name any of the issues in the world. There's education. There's...
Absolutely.
Just list goes on and on with all of the different... You read the open the paper and like, oh, that's broken. Oh, Social Security's broken.
Absolutely.
What are we going to do with the old people? Oh, this disease is happening. Oh, my God. What are we... You know, all of these things. If it comes back to basic human compassion, if everyone in the world are our brothers and sisters, if we're all one human family and our hearts are in the right place, we can solve all of these problems. But we have to... It's not just about an environmental group or a political activist group. All of that stuff is important, but they're just tiny pieces in the puzzle. And the center of that puzzle is that spiritual journey.
And what is required, I believe, Rain, I'm talking to Rain Wilson, y'all, from the office. What is required is a sense of awakening on the part of all of us, the people, so that you don't need an environmental group, or you don't need, you know, groups or organizations, but people recognize that for themselves. We need to become awake.
We do. That's a perfect way to put it. And I think the arts can help awaken young people. I know it did for me.
Mm-hmm.
Brought me a sense of purpose and passion in my life.
But what a beautiful concept that you were talking about, the Baha'i Faith believes, and that you're sharing on Soul Pink, that you're sharing on Soul, see, you can see my jet laggedness here, on soulpancake.com, that your art, your creativity is really your spirituality, your prayer, speaking to the world.
Mm-hmm.
What a beautiful thing.
And I show up to work and I wear my ugly mustard colored shirts and I put my glasses and my weird haircut on, and and I think, why am I here again? I'm like, oh, you know what? I get to make people laugh. God gave me this gift of playing weird characters, and I get to create a memorable character and be a part of a really what I think is a great show.
Yeah, it's a great show.
And entertain people and make them laugh. And what a great service. We need laughter.
Yeah, but this is so interesting what you said earlier, too. You're on a great show, a hit show, Emmy Award-winning show, and yet you said you knew years ago that if you didn't do, if you didn't act, that you would be dead, frozen tundra-like Chicago.
Yeah.
And so the fact that it is a hit show, I think, is fantastic.
Yeah.
But you would be doing it even if it wasn't.
Oh, absolutely. And I did theater in New York for 9 or 10 years before I did any TV or film, and basically, you know, I drove a moving van and I was in starvation wages and eating day old bagels. And for a long, long, long time, I just needed to act. I was hoping to get paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to act. And if that meant doing community theater, so be it. I just needed to be an artist.
But also last year you starred in the hit film The Rocker as The Rocker.
You say hit film, Oprah. it kind of bombed, but thanks for saying that. Thanks. I think that's the first time anyone's called The Rocker a hit film. But you know what? It's a good film. And
it's a good film.
I'll send you over a DVD.
I know what it's like to work really hard and want something to be successful. And it's good work, really great work.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody rushed out and invested in it the way you wanted them to.
47 people rushed out and invested their $10 in The Rocker.
I've been there.
Uh-huh.
I know what that feels like. But still, it's about the art. It's about being able to do it.
It is. The Rocker is ridiculous. I mean, it's marketed with me, with my butt crack showing and looking like a crazed, ridiculous lunatic, but it's someone getting a second chance at doing what they love to do, and it's a beautiful redemption tale with a love story and coming of age, and there's actually a beautiful spiritual message contained in the movie The Rocker.
Do you always look for the spiritual, even when you're doing a character? I don't know if Dwight has any.
No, certainly Dwight doesn't. No, not by a long
Dwight is not awakened yet.
No, he is the most unawakened. You know, I have done a lot of kind of questionable, morally questionable stuff as a Baha'i and
yes.
as an actor. But, you know, I also believe in, you know, providing for my family and making a living, and this
is my craft and
stuff like that. But I have definitely turned down stuff that has been, like, morally reprehensible.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You have?
Yeah, sure.
So there's a line you won't cross?
There is a line. I don't know what it is, because certainly in The Rocker, like, drumming naked and vomiting every couple of minutes was... No, that's not what the movie is. It's actually a really sweet movie, but, yeah, there's a line out there somewhere.
There's a line out there somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about, you know, all of the big questions for yourself, for your family, for your life, what do you want... you were talking about this a little earlier about your art representing laughter and allowing people to laugh and, you know, mm-hmm. give that to people.
Mm-hmm.
What do you really, though, in your day-to-day encounters, because not all the time are you acting, do you want your life to represent, like your encounters with everyone? What do you want the message of your life to be?
Well, that's an awesome, awesome question, and I haven't really thought. I'm gonna write that down on my life's big questions.
What is the message of your life?
No, that's the most important thing, really, Soul Pancake or not, but just every interaction you have with mm-hmm. every single person. What do I want the message of my life to be? I want to have a great time and be living in God's will at the same time.
Ooh,
if I had
too.
To sum it up, like, I want to just have a kick-ass time and have a blast and be irreverent and listen to loud rock and roll music
mm-hmm.
And at the same time be of service to God's will, which I believe is being of service to humanity. But I want to be able to merge both of those two.
So do I.
Really?
Yeah.
We should talk.
We should talk of it. Come on. No, really. I really, for this year, one of my goals is to be in the space, is to be connected and awakened in the space of God.
Mm-hmm.
And to live in that awareness. I'm calling it, there's an old spiritual called Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
Sing it, yeah.
So, mm-hmm. Just a Closer Walk with Thee, just a mm-hmm. closer walk with God, to be mm-hmm. in that space, but also be able to have, as you say, a kick-ass time, but to be connected to that space in a way that you're always, everything that you do. There was a book I read a long time ago by Marianne Williamson, and she said she... lives in the space. She lives in prayer on her knees, you know, to live in that space where you never leave it,
mm-hmm.
which is hard to do, don't you think?
It is. There's a Baha'i phrase from Abdul Baha, who's the son of the founder of the Baha'i faith, and he said, strive, therefore, that your actions may be beautiful prayers.
Hmm.
And I think that's what it's really
okay. So,
all
what
about.
Percentage of the time do you get that?
Four.
Right. Four. No, seriously.
No, I struggle with this. I can be impatient and rude and self-centered, and you know, I have a lot of daily struggles. So, what percentage? 23.7.
Okay.
How's that?
That's good.
And I'm gonna get it up to 31.2. On 2009.
All right, that's
with your help, and I want to have a closer walk with thee.
Thank you. So I want to know, what is your number? What would be your number one most exciting function on soulpancake.com? What's going to drive the hordes to join the community?
I am really excited about the idea of contests.
Hmm.
Because
what kind?
Contests are...
You mentioned that earlier, but...
Yeah, I mean, if we literally... This is one thing we talked about early on. It's like, literally, the prize is $250.
Okay.
And you want to use the four different mediums that we have.
We can pay our light bill, so go ahead
yeah,
with
yeah.
that.
But, you know, it doesn't have to be a large amount of money, is what I'm saying. It doesn't have to be $10,000 or something like that. It's just
$250, okay.
$250 and a contest to see who can come up with their best interpretation of what inspires you to be a better person. That's kind of lame. Why is there suffering in the world? And we want to do this with video. Or we want to do it with photography. We want to do it with writing. Whatever it is, to have a contest to get people to really dig into that question and then use the tools of whatever art that they're undertaking and use those tools of that art to explore it and then upload it and have a discussion and a back and forth on the website and then have a voting process where there's actually a winner. It's hard to say, like, who's the winner, who's the loser, but I do think that it's human nature to like a little competition. And I think that
so
could be really
fun. So adding a little competition to get people to start to thinking about the big questions. And so would there be a big question every day or a list of big questions, life big questions? Because, you know, as I'm just sitting here looking at the questions, it's you can't think of all the answers at one time, you know? Like, I'll leave here today, and I'll be thinking about that five-year-old question, because nobody's ever asked me that question.
Hey, all right.
I've never thought of that. Years ago, I was doing an interview with Gene Siskel, and at the end of the interview, Gene Siskel said to me, "What do you know for sure?" And I couldn't answer the question. And I went home, and I thought about it, and 3 days later, I called him, and he goes, "The show was over 3 days ago. I really don't need the answer now." Well, I was going, "Gene, I'm still not thinking about that."
What was your answer?
I can't remember what my answer was then, but it was made such a profound impact on me. What?
Microsoft.
By Microsoft. But it made such an impression on me that I now, in my magazine, have my column called "What Do You Know for Sure?" because that question impressed me. So I'll be thinking about the five-year-old for a long time.
Do you want to put it in your magazine?
Think about it. Yeah, I'll give you credit. Absolutely. Sure. I don't mind giving the people the credit.
All right. Good deal.
Good deal. Okay. On the site now, you have a, what is it?
Spatula fist. So spatula in your fist. That is the logo of Soul Pancake.
Spatula fist.
Yeah. And then, so we're having people all over the planet send in them holding up their spatulas.
Well, this is that whole social networking. I'll give our opinions.
A world social networking. And you can go on the map and you can see where everyone is on the globe and stuff like that. Geolocating or whatever it's called.
So what do you think this time means for us? I mean, you know, I'm all excited.
Right.
You know. But what do you think all of this means? This time, this inauguration, Obama, this new level of consciousness. Where is it going to carry us?
Well, I think that there are great forces of progress in the world. There are ideas.
Just the fact that he could be elected.
The fact that he could be elected, which we would have, like, 18 years ago even, like, thinking, like, that would have been 5 years ago, been like, no way. Come on.
Yeah.
And
four years ago when I first saw him at the Democratic National Convention 2004, I thought it would happen. I certainly didn't think it would happen this quickly. But,
yeah.
Yeah, but go ahead.
Yeah,
I didn't interrupt.
No, not at all. But, you know, there are great forces of progress in the world where I believe that we see God's plan for humankind unfolding. We see unity being created. And then there are really terrible forces at work in the world at the same time. And humankind has enormous challenges facing it. And both of those things are happening at the exact same time. Our whole world culture is being torn apart with wars and famine and disease and economic injustice, and then there are these bright spots of hope and progression and people coming together and your soul series and things that are making the world a better place. So I see it as man eventually fulfilling his destiny.
Okay. Speaking of bright spots, you were saying there are also bright spots. I want to know what absolutely delights you.
What absolutely delights me?
What absolutely delights you?
There's so many things. Should I just start going through
them? Yeah, just start going through.
My wife and son.
Oh. Just the way you said that in your eyes made me want to tear up.
I'm
just there.
I'm
you
Oprah.
Said was my wife and son.
No.
Just the way you said it made my eyes water.
The band Radiohead.
Okay.
I think maybe my most profound spiritual experience, besides visiting the Baha'i Holy Lands in Israel, was seeing Radiohead in concert. I saw them 3 times this last summer.
Really?
So you feel that about delights that. Me.
Okay. The way I feel about Tina Turner on stage.
Oh.
68 in Six Inch Blondes.
Yeah, how about that?
Okay, good. You know, we started out saying, oh, gee, an hour, what are we going to talk about? And now we've gone over. We're over.
No way.
We're way over.
I was like, there's no way I'm going to give you 18 minutes of things to talk about.
No, we're over now by a minute and 42 seconds.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you for joining me. It was delightful.
Oh, what an honor to be on your show.
And delightful.
It's absolutely absurd that you have some of the greatest thinkers and philosophizers and spiritual people on the planet. And
No, and, but when I heard you were doing this, you know who told me about you? Oh. Elizabeth Lesser, who runs the Omega Institute.
What?
Yes. Yes.
Did she send in her spatulafist? The Soul Pancake?
Yes. Not only that, they want you to come to Omega, is what I heard.
Oh, that would be great.
Yes, yeah.
I love her stuff. I heard it on the
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's
That's
amazing.
Who told me about you. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is she the
I mean, I knew
woman?
About you as a Dwight, but I didn't know that you were doing this whole Soul Pancake thing.
That's fantastic.
And that you were a really connected, wise, thoughtful individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that it's acting, but.
Well.
A delight. May I say again, a delight to
Thank
talk
you,
to
Oprah.
Rainn Wilson. Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Hope you enjoyed this edition of Soul Series. Soul Series is a part of Oprah Radio, exclusively on XM Channel 136 and Sirius Channel 195. These are some of my favorite conversations.
For more Best Life programming 24 hours a day, listen to Oprah Radio. Go to xmradio.com/Oprah for details.